2 Timothy chapter 15, 16, and 17. I want to preach a message entitled The Most Important Book in the World. The Most Important Book in the World. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, your blessing upon reading of the scriptures and now the preaching of your word. Lord, I pray, dear Lord, that we as a group here this morning, dear God, would be challenged to just fall in love all again, all over again with the Bible. For some, Lord, that they would seek out the Word of God, and maybe for the first time in their life, take it up in their hands and seriously contemplate the contents that are contained in this glorious, miraculous, wonderful book. And so, Lord, I pray that the Word of God would inspire us to seek out the Scriptures, and Lord, to hear your words, and make the Bible a part of every single day of our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Brother Bud was telling me about a song right before church started, in between the services. He said, that song that I've been telling you about the King James Bible, I think we'll have it ready by next week. I said, I'm going to preach on the Bible this morning. And I said, I won't be here next week. I'm going to be on vacation next week. And he said, well, I think we had it pretty good. Maybe we'll just try it this morning. I said, I'd love for you to sing that song this morning. So thank you, choir, for getting that put together and doing a great job on it this morning. I appreciate it. I told him as he was going off the platform, I think you just sang my sermon. And so the choir special and the message is going to go hand in hand this morning. And folks, if you've been here a while, you're just going to be reminded of some things. But for some of you that are new to church, and maybe you've been to church for a while, but the honest truth is you come here and you hear the Bible preached, but you don't have a personal relationship with the book, I hope that you'll really give me a hearing this morning. You'll really contemplate. See, I believe this. I think that the power to transform your life is just about an arm's length away every single day of your life. I really believe this. Young people that are here, and I thank God that you're here, and I love you, and I defend you, and I root for you. But you know what? If you do not begin in your teen years to have a meaningful relationship with the Bible, the chances of you long-term making it for the Lord is just about down to nothing. I just promise you it is. And so I'm going to encourage you to just reach out and grab. Preacher, I've got a Bible. I got more than one Bible. I pack it back and forth to church, and from time to time I crack it open, but I really don't have a meaningful daily relationship with the Bible. I want to introduce to you this morning the most important book in the Bible. I like to think that I love the Bible. I want to think that. I think I do. But every once in a while, I read a story that just kind of humbles me and convicts me. And I was reading through a book and picked up this little story, this illustration that was contained in this book, and I'll read it to you this morning. Boy, it made me really pause and think and give thought, and God used it to kind of birth the idea of the message this morning. Here it is. In France, there once lived a poor blind girl who received Jesus as her Savior and then obtained a copy of the Gospel of Mark in Braille. Of course, Braille is the raised print that the blind people can feel with their fingers. She learned to read its raised characters by feeling them with the tips of her fingers. She fell so in love with this book that she, by constant reading, caused her fingertips to become callous. The more she read it, the more callous they became. And thus her sense of touch diminished because of the calluses until she could no longer distinguish the characters. One day, in desperation, being a young girl, not knowing desperation, she decided to cut the skin from the ends of her fingers to increase their sensitivity. But instead, she destroyed the nerves and lost all feeling in her fingers. She felt she must now give up her beloved book, and weeping, listen to this, pressed it to her lips, saying, "Farewell, farewell, sweet words of my heavenly Father." To her surprise, her lips, more delicate than her fingers, discerned the forms of the letters. All night, she pursed with her lips the word of God and overflowed with the joy of this new acquisition. And I read that and thought, oh, do I really love the Bible? Do I really love the Bible? The Bible, I believe, is the most important book in the world. I don't want you to read it. I want you to fall in love with the Bible. I want you to fall in love with the Bible. I went to this portion of Scripture that tells us so much about the Bible, and I'm going to use this portion of Scripture, preach down through it, to share five reasons that I believe that the Bible is the most important book in the world. Number one, the Bible is important for our children. For our children. Notice the opening phrase in verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. How blessed you young people are. That will be your testimony if you stay in church. That'll be your testimony as you're raised in a Christian home. What a blessing to be able to say that you are the rare exception in America to have known the Scriptures from your childhood. Never take that for granted. That's a blessing. I went to a camp, I think it was a year ago, last summer in Pennsylvania, and they had an opening meeting with all of the camp counselors and all of the workers, every adult that was there, probably about 60, 70 adults, and they had us all meet in a room as the young people were being registered and taken care of. They had all the counselors meet in a room, and the man that was directing the camp did something I thought was very wise. He said, before we get started, I want to just do a little something that I think will help us all get the week started out right. And he said, I'm going to ask you, if you were saved before you were 12 years, basically before you were 13, 12 years of age and younger, if you were saved 12 years and age younger, I'd like you to stand up, we were all seated, and go back to that corner there. And boy, a bunch of people stood and went. If you were saved from 13 to 19, I'd like you to come over in this corner. A bunch of them stood up and went to this corner, some of them then. Now I want you to, if you're here and you were saved from 20 years of age and older, I want you to walk over into this corner. And you know what? The message was very plain by what we saw. Back here, the number of people that stood, adult people serving the Lord, at campus counselors stood in there, far exceeded these two groups put together. Matter of fact, it was the largest group of all. This group was huge. This group was pretty good. This group contained 3 adults out of 70. Now, what am I'm saying? I'm saying this. Praise God. You can, if you're here today and you're 99 years of age and you're lost, you can be saved. And I pray that you will be. But the honest truth is most people that get saved in their childhood. And you know what? What we need to do is get the Word of God to children. I want to just take a moment and say this. Thank you. And I thank the Lord for our children's workers here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Ma'am, sir, every week, if you're engaged in children's work where you take the Word of God and teach children, you are engaged in a great work, a great work. But let me say this. Please don't turn it into a babysitting session. Teach them the Scriptures. Sunday school teachers, I know some of the younger ages, it's a challenge. And if you're not careful, it's easier just to turn those sessions into coloring sessions and game sessions. But please let our children grow up with this testimony that from a child they have known the Holy Scriptures. And so it's important what we do here. By the way, moms, dads, let me congratulate you, those of you that, again, are the exception to the rule in America, that you take the Bible and you share it with your children and you read the Bible to the children that can't read yet and you train your children that can read to read the Bible. Listen, let it be the testimony of your home. Let it be the testimony of this church that children that come to Blessed Hope Baptist Church and children that are raised in your home, that they know the Scriptures from their childhood. So why is it the most important book in the world? Number one, it's important for our children. Number two, the Bible is important because it teaches us salvation through Jesus Christ. Look at verse number 15, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. How? Through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. I like that song, brother. They sung there, Brother Bud, the choir song. You had a couple of sayings in that song, of sentences in that song that match what Tozer said. I read this. Tozer said, an honest man with an open Bible and a pad and pencil is sure to find out what is wrong with him very quickly. I like that. An honest man with an open Bible and a pad and pencil is sure to find out what is wrong with him very quickly. Now, Billy Sunday said it a little more bluntly. The reason you don't like the Bible, you old sinner, is because it knows all about you. That almost came out of that song, didn't it? Now, folks, the honest truth is, thank God for the Bible and thank God for the bluntness of the Bible and thank God that the Bible finds us where we are. You know where we are? We're sinners, lost. That's where we're at. And so the Bible is an important book because it teaches us of the salvation that's available through Jesus Christ. The central theme of the Bible is the redemption of man through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The central theme of the Bible is salvation. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save, help me church, that which was lost. 1 Timothy 1:15, I like this. We just studied this on Wednesday night. This is a faithful saint and worthy of all acceptation. What is that faithful saint? That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I read this wonderful story about Daniel Webster, the famous orator and politician. He lived in New Hampshire during the summer. While there, he attended a small country church pastored by a simple country preacher. Most of you know that Daniel Webster was extremely well educated. His niece once asked him, why do you spurn the larger city churches pastored by men of much greater education and ability? Daniel Webster's answer to his niece was astounding. This is what he said. While I attend those churches, they preach to Daniel Webster, the statesman. When I attend here, the preacher always preaches to Daniel Webster, the sinner. When I attend the city churches, I hear many topics unrelated to Scripture. When I attend this simple church, I hear only of Christ Jesus. Folks, let's just keep it simple. Let's just keep it simple. You see, you know what? You can't separate the Bible from the Son of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is found in every book of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. This is a Christ-centered book. If you're lost, it can make you wise into salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The most important book in the world, number three, the Bible is important because it is God-breathed. Now, I want you to stay with me and engage your mind here just a minute, all right? So kind of wake yourself up, straighten up a little bit. It's important that you understand this. All scripture, the Bible goes on to say in verse number 16, is given by inspiration of God. Let me teach you something. Let me teach you something that's a little deep. Let me teach you something that you can understand, even the young people. Let me have your attention. What makes this book the most important book of the world? In the world? Because the Bible claims to be and is God-breathed. The Bible contains the very words of God. Matthew 4:4, I like this. Jesus said, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. How did this happen, preacher? 2 Peter 1:20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. This book was penned by men, but the words came from the mouth of God. It was dictated to them by God. Oftentimes what I'll say when I teach about this is, you know, somebody will come to me and say, well, I'll tell you what, the Bible is written by men. And I will say to them, I like to pull out a pen out of my pocket and say, let me show you something. I'm going to write a sentence here. And so I'll write, let's see, what was some of the sentences I used to read in first grade? Okay. Go, Bill, go. Bill ran fast. And then I was to hold this up to you and say, let me tell you who authored those words. Let me tell you whose words those are. Those words came from this pen. This pen, this is the words of this pen. And anybody with an ounce of sense would say, preacher, those aren't the words of an ink pen. Those are your words. You just picked up the ink pen and wrote the words. And I would say to you, don't tell me that these are the words of a man. Because you know what? God just picked up holy men of old and dictated to them what to write and used them as a writing utensil. Folks, I want you to understand this. This book, young people, you're going to hear it. You're going to hear it. I promise you, attacks on the Bible are coming from everywhere. You're going to have adults, you're going to hear it. Come on, in the workplace, you're going to hear it. All that book was just written by men. No, it was written by God. He just picked up men and used them as an ink pen. Now, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. All scripture is God-breathed. These words that's contained in this book are the very words of God. This book was penned by men, but dictated by God. This book is not only collectively the word of God, but also it is specifically the very words of God. In Psalm chapter 12, verse 6 and 7, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of fire, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Not only did God pick up men and write the original words, but he also took custodial care over those words to keep them and preserve them for every generation. I like what Leonard Ravenhill said. The Bible is either absolute or it's obsolete. The Bible is either absolute or it's obsolete. Now, what are you saying, preacher? Be specific. All right, here we go. 39 chapters in the Old Testament, 27 chapters in the New Testament, 66 books in all, a total of 1,189 chapters in the Bible, 41,173 verses, 774,746 words in the Bible. Every one of them is God-breathed, God-protected, God-preserved, and reliable in this generation. You pick up the Bible tomorrow morning and decide that you're going to try something brand new. I'm going to read the God-breathed words before I walk out and try to live my life today. I'm going to take the time to read the God-breathed words of this Bible. I'm going to just go ahead and say this, and for some of you, this will be old stuff, and you'll know why I'm saying it. For some of you, I'm going to give you a little bit of a lesson here. But trust this preacher and go out and get you a King James Bible, all right? A King James Bible. You say, preacher, I go out there and there's so many different Bibles, and I pick up a King James Bible and I find ones that are easier to read than the King James Bible. Well, you might find one that's easier to read, but you're not going to find ones that have the very words of God. Now, the most popular Bible that's being sold today is the NIV. That seems to be the Bible of choice. The NIV has changed the words of the King James Bible, quote unquote, to make it easier to read. But in the changing of those words, they have perverted and changed the message of the Bible. Let me give you some for instance. Let me shock you a little bit here. The King James Bible reads in Luke chapter 2, verse 33, and Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. In the NIV, the same verse reads, where it says, and Joseph and his mother marveled, it says, the child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Now you say, preacher, that's not a big deal. That's just a little change. That is a big deal. Joseph was not the child's father. They just destroyed the doctrine of the virgin birth of Jesus. Listen, every time man takes an eraser and says, I'm going to go to the King James Bible and I'm going to erase and redo it in such a way people can understand it easier, They mess it up. Now go ahead and get you a King James Bible. How about Colossians 1:14? The King James Bible reads, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. The Bible, the NIV says, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Now tell me, why in the world would any sane person who understands the importance of the blood remove these three words, through his blood? That's the whole point of the verse there. I could go on and tell you examples. I'm going to tell you this back in our track rack. If you have any doubts, preacher, I got an NIV. Are you sure about this? I'd like you to pick up one of these pamphlets. There's one of them. I stuck some in our track rack back there. I want you to read it. You'll be astounded at how much the Bible that you think is a Bible that you're holding in your hand is different from the actual preserved, inspired words of God as found in the King James Bible. The NIV completely takes away 17 verses. 17 verses are not there. They took them completely out, including Matthew 18:11, for the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. Why would you take that out of the Bible? How about Acts 8:37? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And you take that verse out of the story of the conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch? Are you kidding me? The NIV completely takes away Matthew 17:21, Matthew 18:11, Matthew 23:14, Mark 7:16, Mark 9:44, Mark 9:46, Mark 11:26, Mark 15:28, Luke 17:36, Luke 23:17, John 5:4, Acts 8:37, Acts 15:37, Acts 24:7, Acts 28:28, Romans 16:4, and 1 John 5:7. By the way, some of you listen to me on the radio. That'll be on next week. If you don't believe me, you go home, you listen to this tape, you look at those Bibles, those Bible verses, and you know what? You'll get to them and find they are not there. I didn't say they've been changed. I didn't say they've been tweaked. They're gone. They're not there. You know that the NIV has taken away 64,576 words out of the Bible? Don't look for the word mercy seat. You won't find it. It's gone. Don't look for the word Jehovah in NIV. It's gone. Don't look for the word Godhead in the NIV. It's gone. We could go on and on about this. What am I saying? I want you to get the pamphlet. I want you to educate yourself. I want you to understand the devil from day one in the Garden of Eden has always tried to change the words of God. Hath God said? Did he really say it that way? You sure he didn't maybe mean it this way? Just get a hold of a King James Bible, hold on to it, and read it, and God will bless you every day of your life. Say, preacher, why is this the most important book in the world? Because it's important for our children, because it teaches us that salvation comes through Jesus Christ, because it is God-breathed, inspired, the very words of God. Number four, the Bible is important because it is profitable to us. It's profitable to us. Now, how many of you would agree with me that not everything that you did this week was profitable? All right. No matter how well you try to plan the week, no matter how well you try to eliminate things that don't matter, every one of us get the end of our week and look back and say, boy, that was a waste of time. That didn't work out. Lost a half day there. There's an hour I'll never get back. But I will promise you this, you'll never get to the end of your life and look back at the time that you spent reading your Bible and say, that was unprofitable. Because the Bible says this, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, your preacher says it all the time, and is profitable. So it's not a waste of time to read your Bible. It's the best time you could spend of the day. I'm going to encourage you, read your Bible every morning. It's profitable. It's profitable. You know what takes about 70 hours and 40 minutes to read the Bible through at pulpit rate, out loud, at a steady, easily followed cadence? I mean, if I was to stand here and read the Bible, I won't. It would take 70 hours and 40 minutes. That's one of the things I'm going to probably delegate to be done. But I won't do it, 70 hours and 40 minutes to read the Bible. But if you did, that's how long it would take. You say, preacher, that's a long time. Well, wait a minute. You better break it down. It's not as long as you think. The honest truth is, if we took the time, we could read the Bible in about, if you divided that by 365 days, you can read the Bible in about 11 minutes a day. You know, we're going to stand before God and God's going to say something along the lines of, good night. I saved you. I redeemed you. I gave you a perfect book. How in the world did you not read it every day? And you know what most of us are going to try to sell the Lord on? Well, I was just too. Brother, if you're too busy to take 11 or 12 minutes and open a Bible and read it so that you can read it through once a year, then can I just say this? You need to re-examine your priorities. You are too busy. I don't think we're too busy. I think we're, number one, watch this, too lazy. I think we're too lazy. Number two, I think we're too carnal. Okay, come on now. See, you read this Bible, it's going to start bothering you. You read your Bible and you want to live a lukewarm, wishy-washy Christian life, it's going to confront those things in your life. And it's just easier to lay that aside and consider yourself right and not be challenged on what you believe than it is to read the Bible. What I'm saying is this, folks, come on. We're not going to be able to stand before God one of these days and say that we didn't have time to read the Bible. 11 minutes and 36 seconds a day, that's what it figures out to. If you take 70 hours and 40 minutes and divide it by 365, what I'm saying is this. Watch this. D.L. Moody said this, the Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible. Preacher, I feel like you're prodding us a little. You're challenging us a little. I am! Because I know what will happen in your life if you'll take this Bible and begin to decide you're going to make it a part of every day of your life. You're going to wake up and you're going to read it and read it thoughtfully and pray before you read it. God, I'm going to take the next 10 or 15 minutes and just read your word. Lord, stir my heart. teach me something. Show me how I ought to live. Show me where there's sin in my life. Help me to be a better Christian. And you go to the Bible with a hunger in your heart and a focus. And I'm going to tell you something. God will begin to transform your life. It is profitable. See, time spent reading the Bible is profitable. Let me throw this in. Time spent hearing the Bible preached is profitable. Satan knows this. He's done everything he can to try to keep the people of this culture from walking into a Bible preaching church and listening to the Word of God. How does he keep people from hearing the Bible? Number one, he's taken the people from the pew. Number two, he's taken the Bible from the pulpit. First thing he's done is discourage people, try to get people so busy in this world that they don't take the time on the Lord's Day. On the Lord's Day. That's L-O-R-D apostrophe F. Apostrophe means possession. It means it belongs to him, not me, not you. This is the Lord's Day. He says, that found in the Bible. Read Revelation chapter number 1. Paul said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. And so the Bible identifies Sunday, the first day of the week, as belonging to the Lord. It's not yours to say, I'm going to get up and do whatever I want. It's not yours to say, you know what, this is what I'm going to do. It's the Lord's Day. Hey, America, get back to allowing the Lord to have possession of his day. And you know what? So people have not been coming in and sitting in the pew. Number two, those that do, unfortunately, there's been attack from the pulpit in the Bible, and there's a lot of churches in our area right now. The preacher walks up to the Bible with an NIV, a defective version of the Bible, and tries to preach something that has been changed and is defective and is not even accurate. Or the preachers, watchers, can I just say this? The preachers more and more are getting to be too cowardly to preach the Bible. Oh, they'll preach it, but they'll pick out a little bit here, a little bit here. Oh, well, this won't offend anybody. And let me go back over to Psalms and find something encouraging. And we need some encouraging messages. Sure we do. But you know what? We're to preach the whole counsel of God. And you know what? You can't tiptoe around things and dance around things. What you need to do is open it up. And if God says it, the preacher's supposed to say it loud and clear. We're to preach the Word of God. Time spent hearing the Bible preached is profitable. Don't let the devil steal the Bible out of your life. Let me give you the last thought. Number five, why is the Bible the most important book in the world? The Bible is important because of its transforming power. I like this. Look at verse number 17. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The Bible will grow you up. That word perfect doesn't mean sinless. It means complete. It means mature in your faith. You show me a Christian that gets saved, somebody that gets saved, becomes a child of God, becomes a Christian, that parks themselves in a good Bible preaching church, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, opens the Bible every morning, begins to read it and memorize it and meditate on it. I'm telling you what, you'll begin to see a transformation take place in that person's life. Nothing will change you more than the Word of God. Watch this. George Mueller said this: the vigor of our spiritual life will be in exact proportion to the place held by the Bible in our life and thoughts. I like that. The vigor of our spiritual life. Thank you, Brother Mueller. Watch this, folks. I believe in the transforming power of the Word of God in the lives of God's children because I have been witness to the transforming power of the Word of God in the life of God's children. I believe the most important thing we can do with our young people is to encourage them and equip them and enable them when it comes to reading the Word of God. I had a number of bus captains back, way back when I was in my training days in Bible college. A number of us bus captains got to talking one time, and they said, somebody threw a question out and said, if you get all the teenagers on your bus route to do one thing, just do one thing, just do one thing every week consistently, and you only had to choose one thing, what would it be? And I thought, well, what an interesting question. What I chose to do and still choose to do most of my life is be quiet and listen and hear what other people say. And by the way, that'd be a good thing to do. I'll always probably be the last person that answers a question only when you're prompted and not the first person, because usually the first answer is usually not the right answer. Somebody spoke up real quick, well, I'd have them go soul winning. And I sat there and thought, man, that'd be a great thing. That'd be a great thing. You know what? That might be it. Yeah, if we could just get our young people out there trying to win people to Jesus Christ. Another one said, I don't know about that. I think I'd start with prayer. And I said, you know, in my heart, that'd be a great thing. And I began to contemplate as I hear different people say different things. And the more I thought about it, the more I thought about the importance of the Bible. Finally, someone said, Brother Jerry, what do you think? And I said, well, I think everything that was said was sure important. But I said, I think if they just get the Bible every day, wouldn't that eventually get them soul winning? And if they just got the Bible in today, every day, wouldn't that eventually get them praying? And the more I've thought about that, the more that's been cemented into my thinking, and the more I've committed that to that, and I believe it. We worked fervently as a bus captain, me and my wife, to try to get our young people. We held them accountable. Man, we'd print them out Bible reading charts, and every Saturday when we visited, I'd say, go get your Bible. We'd help them tape it right in the cover. They had places to check mark off what they read every day, and I'd want to see it. And boy, sometimes they came sheepishly and looked like I'm in trouble and open it up and kind of give me this. And I said, you didn't do one day this week? Not one day? And they're like, oh, Brother Jerry, I'm sorry. I just go, okay, all right, listen. There's no rewind button on this week. But listen, is it important? Yes, it's important. All right, will you start again? Yes, we'll start again. And you know what? Every week we just kept after him. Hey, watch this. What if I stood right back there as your pastor? And as you walked in the door, say, let me see your Bible reading chart. Come on, church. We're not going to make it. You're not going to treat us like children. Then don't act like a child. I'm not going to do that. But listen, God knows whether you do or not. That's more important whether the preacher knows whether you do or not. What I'm saying is, listen, we need a revival of people just picking up the book every day and saying, I'm going to read it. Hey, preacher, it's harder for me to read than some people. Then read a chapter a day and take your time. And think about it, and God will speak to your heart. Watch this, folks. Let me summarize what we've said this morning. Let me help you. Let me give you some good closing advice. Number one, first of all, get you a Bible and make sure it's the right one. Make sure you get a King James Bible. Preacher, I've got a NIV or I've got something else. My grandma gave it to me. And I have no doubt your grandma did that because she loved you and she cared about you. But listen to me. You get you a King James Bible and you read it every day and you bring it to church. And that way when I'm reading, you'll look down. We'll be reading the same thing. And you know what? We'll know that we have all the words of God. Get the right Bible. Read it. Come to church. Listen to it. Preach. Sit under the preaching of God's word. Meditate upon it. Preacher, if I do these things, what will happen? Let me leave you with these verses. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this book. How in the world would we know what to do? How in the world would we know what to believe? How in the world would we ever stay on the right track? Lord, in your great mind and your great heart, you knew that as children of God, we would need the very words of our God, of our Creator. Thank you, dear Lord, for using holy men of old and picking them up literally as writing instruments and giving us the very words of God. And Lord, thank you for the custodial care that you've taken over these words. And thank you for preserving them unto this generation in the words of the King James Bible. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that each and every one of us would commit ourselves to reading and memorizing and meditating and studying these precious words. Lord, may we not be guilty of the sin of neglect when it comes to our interaction with the Bible. There's somebody here with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. There's somebody here that's never received Jesus Christ as your Savior. When you come forward to be saved at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, we don't have a man or a woman sit down with you and tell you what they think about heaven and how to get there. We have men and women trained to open the very words of God and show you black words on white paper, exactly what God says is necessary in order to be saved. Let me ask you a question. If you died right now, are you 100% sure you go to heaven? If not, the scriptures are able to make thee wise into salvation. If God's convicting your heart about salvation, in just a minute we're going to have an invitation. I would love for you to come forward. Brother Reiser's here at the front. Just walk up to him. I need to be saved. I've never been saved. And he'll get someone to take the Bible and show you how to be saved. Hey, Christians, come on. Let's be honest about this. Preacher, it's a Sunday morning. Well, all right, let's just pretend it's a Sunday night or a Wednesday night or a revival meeting. Let's be that open to what the Holy Spirit's trying to do. How about it, young person? Do you have a meaningful daily relationship with this amazing, amazing supernatural book? How about it, adults? How about it, children? Is there a decision we need to make concerning our relationship with the Bible? Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Bless us, Lord, now as we have our invitation time. In Jesus' name.